Monday, August 8th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I know you have taught a number of series and taken a number of trips promoting Christian manhood. We've talked about that in the past. There was an article describing a new video by a cultural apologist by the name of Jordan Peterson, who embraces a concept of natural law. Peterson released a video which encouraged Christian churches to invite young men into their congregations and said, "You ought to expect surprising growth." Peterson restated his familiar message that young men are currently alienated from mainstream culture. There's a void there for young men. While Peterson does not profess to be a Christian, he is giving an overt promotion of Christianity, saying the Christian church is there to remind people, young men included, and perhaps even first and foremost, that they have a woman to find, a garden to walk, a family to nurture, an ark to build, a land to conquer, and a ladder to heaven to build, and the utter terrible catastrophe of life to face, stalwartly, in truth, devoted to love, and without fear. Harry, I'd love to get your response to those comments.
I would love to walk through that list that he just gave, but let me just pick out one of them. Christianity is not a religion to build a ladder to heaven. Christianity is a glorious celebration of the fact that God has come down from heaven. He is the ladder. Of course, Christ affirms that in his encounter with Nathanael in the book of John, where he affirms that he is that ladder, of which the patriarch Jacob had seen. But what I want to get to, Tom, is the fact that his observation of what is happening to manhood in this cultural revolution, that men are oppressors, men are the problem, the attack on patriarchy, any notion of masculine leadership. What he is basically saying is, from the observation of natural law, I would call it creation mandates, that in fact men are made to work. That's what that litany has in common through it, that men are made to work, men are made to defend. God put Adam in the garden to defend it and to tend it, to develop it, and that God has made man different than woman, and there's something called biblical masculinity. What he is observing and critiquing is the cultural revolution that wants to either eradicate manhood or the effeminization of manhood, that is, turning men who patronizingly will conduct themselves as if they are a woman. The cultural call is for men to act like women, look like women, cosmetically, surgically, emotionally, conversationally. And so there is this effeminization of men, and there is at the same time the eradication of anything called manhood. Now, I think what Jordan Peterson has observed is that within Christian theology, we who theologically affirm the distinction of the Creator over the creation also affirm and are called to celebrate the distinctions that God has built into creation. Light and darkness, land and sea, male and female, and that while it takes both male and female to image God, there are distinctives between male and female. What I would say to those who hear that video, and by the way, he has become very popular among Christians because of the accuracy of much of what he says concerning natural law. As I said, he doesn't understand the dynamics of biblical Christianity that comes out of the soil of the gospel of grace. But he does make many rightful observations in terms of what has been called natural law. But what he doesn't get is what Christianity does is not simply observe creation law that men are called to be men. That's why the Bible uses the phrase act like men. But the Bible calls us to understand there is also a fall into sin, and men and women pervert their masculinity and femininity without the work of the gospel. What the church is to promote is biblical masculinity, or the sanctification of masculinity through the work of common grace that would restrain the fall in the lives of men and its effect, and the work of redeeming grace, which transforms men into being men of God. Now, what he is recognizing is men have a calling to confront the effects of sin that brings chaos and to affirm the order of God which brings cosmos. Just as God brought the disorder that the world was empty and void, and then through the creation week brings order, we as image bearers of God and men are called specifically to bring order from disorder. That's why when God made Adam, he told him to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth and to have dominion over the earth. But now because of sin, that call and that ability is perverted into self-centeredness and self-promotion, and that men can use their God-given abilities against the order that God has brought them to affirm. And that's why you need the work of the gospel. It is not only the affirmation of creation manhood, but the application of the gospel for the sanctification of masculinity so that we see biblical manhood and biblical Christianity. And that's what Christ enables us to do. But what he has observed rightly is that every home needs the presence of a father, and every marriage needs the presence of a husband. And God has physically endowed men to do that. And what, of course, I would love to be able to sit down and talk with Jordan Peterson about is that man cannot call upon that without God's grace, either God's common grace in the life of an unbeliever restraining the sin, or God's redeeming grace in the life of a believer that transforms him so he can become, I love the phrase that Paul loves to use with the life of Timothy. He calls Timothy a man of God. I would plead with men and women, come to Christ, be in a Bible-preaching, gospel-declaring, disciple-making church, and then do bring anyone and everyone. But yes, he is right. In our culture right now, the culture is assaulting manhood, and young men don't know where to go with these God-given desires for work and order and defense and competition and all of that. What they need to hear is the saving, sanctifying effects of the gospel. So bring young men to church and welcome young men as men to church with the glorious message that Jesus delivers us from the power of sin that would distort your manhood and would give you the order of a Christian man. What is it that identifies a Christian man? Well, our culture captured this with a phrase that came out of the effects of Christianity upon men in society after the Reformation: gentle men. Men who are sensitive and compassionate in relationships, and men who are strong and courageous in their responsibilities. They fulfill their vows in marriage. They fulfill their vows in family. They fulfill their calling in this world to be fruitful and multiply in the context of marriage. They are called to defend. They are called to protect. And they are called to provide. Teach them how to do this biblically and why to do it for the glory of God and the ability to do it because of the grace of God. Bring them to a church that will teach them that. He is right. There are many young men who will flock to that and who desperately need it in this society that is intentionally emasculating them and intentionally isolating them. We can reach into that population and bring them to a Savior who saves them, transforms them, and then sends them to be men of God.
Harry Reeder is a student of history, more specifically American history and the 19th century. From his studies, Harry has developed Christian Manhood Illustrated, a 6-CD set album outlining the principles of Christian manhood as seen in godly men from history, while sharing with you fascinating stories of the influence and impact Christianity had on these men. Harry intertwines how this impact developed these men into godly leaders. To order this series, go to briarwood.org/manhood. Well, thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.